617 at KLIF. How much time do you spend on social media every day?
I don't know. I don't even think about it. Why do I care?
I think I'm on and off it throughout the day.
Oh, no doubt. It is the majority of my day, but it's not because I'm not engaged with life. It's because primarily because I'm doing homework.
Right. We're looking for stories and interesting things to talk about.
Yeah. Psychiatrist David Henderson is with the Four Stones Group here in Dallas. We spoke with him, I believe, just last week on a different topic and, really had a good talk. Let's, have him join us now. Dr. Henderson, good morning.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you. So what do you think about this idea that social media is actually making us sick? Is it going to be bad for our health?
Well, I think there's evidence showing that that is indeed the case. And there's several explanations as for why. Specifically, a lot of the studies are looking at fatigue overall and your mental health, depression and anxiety. And there are some factors that social media has an influence on. So, for example, you know, our body learns by association. So I tell folks, don't do anything in bed except sleep. You know, don't eat in bed, don't watch TV. And the reason for that is because...
Wait a minute. Excuse me.
Go for it.
There is something... I'm sorry, that's probably not what you're talking about. Any extracurricular activities?
One more other thing, yes. Right. Sex, of course.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's permissible.
All right.
But the idea is that anything else your body is going to adjust to, and it's going to start preparing itself for any other activity if it's associated with being in bed. So if you're doing something stressful, for example, like working on work in bed, your body's not going to prepare itself for sleep. And the same is true with social media. I tell folks all the time, if you are working at your desk, but you're continuously stopping to check social media, your body can't really tell the difference between pleasure and work. So you may be spending 5 hours at your desk doing something that you believe is work, when in reality, 2 of those hours were spent checking social media. You're going to feel exhausted and tired, but also less productive. And so there's this tricking that takes place of the brain that really produces an increase in fatigue and then can lead to stress and anxiety as a result of looking back at the day and realizing, wow, I didn't get a whole lot of accomplished. And, you know, I don't understand what the problem is.
I would also think that you just get stressed out looking at some of the comments that people are posting on your Facebook page because you maybe don't agree with them because they're politically charged, or you're seeing people post things of, you know, their kids and this, and they look like they have the perfect life and you don't.
Absolutely. So it's not just the association of, you know, social media with other things, but it's also what you're exposing yourself to. I just saw a client yesterday who came in just exasperated by all of the political rhetoric that she was seeing on Facebook, and it's created rifts in her family and her friendships, and that's discouraging, it's depressing, it's overwhelming, and that's the kind of thing we're being exposed to daily, sometimes moment by moment, as we scroll through these feeds. And it's not just negative emotion, it's the fluctuation of emotion. So 1 minute you can be looking at a post that makes you super happy and excited, and then the next minute you're looking at a post that makes you angry or discouraged or depressed or anxious. And so we're experiencing this volatility of emotions throughout the day that in and of itself can be quite exhausting, because your body has to, again, adjust to it and respond to it.
I would think, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but it seems to me that this would be psychologically similar to the human curiosity that has us, you know, looking at accident victims lying in the roadway and things of that nature, stuff that's very depressing, but we just can't pull ourselves away because this kind of thing is compelling to us for some reason.
Sure, it absolutely is equivalent. And you know, it's the comparison game that so many of us play. We want to see what our friends and family, and now because of social media, strangers are doing, how they're spending their time. And then we can feel discouraged because our life doesn't seem as interesting. We don't have as many friends. So we make these comparisons that make our own lives seem quite dull, very boring. And that becomes a downward spiral because we are bored. So we get back on social media and we scroll perpetually as a means of distracting ourselves from that boredom, from that depression, from that anxiety. And we're talking about a very addicting behavior that can consume all aspects of your life.
And this isn't just adults. I mean, this is kids too. Kids are addicted to these phones and these social media platforms. And I know kids are saying, oh, well, I got 100 likes or boy, that didn't get 100 likes. What's wrong?
Sure. And the difficult thing I think for parents is, you know, it's easy to say, well, just take the kid's phone away or turn off the internet. But because of the society we live in, this is now such an embedded part of our culture that's extremely difficult. And parents feel a lot of pressure to keep up with other families and stay connected and have their kids stay connected. I mean, no one wants their child to feel ostracized socially. And so the challenge becomes, how do I create a balance in my life that has a healthy amount of social connection and media time, you know, coupled with solitude, isolation, meditation, some of these more maybe even ancient practices that are really super healthy for us and our mental health and our physical health.
Yeah. So what's the solution? We were talking just a couple minutes ago about the fact that kids growing up today, they're as long as they've been alive, they've known social media. This is not something that's going to go away. Will we just learn to adjust over time, do you think?
Well, I think the way we adjust is in being intentional in our actions. If we can be intentional about what we do and not lie to ourselves, I think that's where the secret comes. So there's the idea of passive use of social media, which is where I just get on and scroll without thinking. And then there is the active use of social media, where I get on with intention and purpose, either to connect with a friend, to post something related to my brand, to organize an event. That's the kind of behavior on social media that can actually be productive, can actually make for good social connections, but you have to act with intention. I tell my clients who are struggling with being distracted while they're working at their desk, hey, go ahead and check social media, but just do me one favor. Don't trick yourself. Get up from the desk if you're not working and go sit in a chair and check social media. And then as soon as you're ready to work again, go back and sit back down in the desk. And don't lie to your body, don't lie to your brain that you're actually working during that time. Yeah. So if we act with intention, I think that's where the secret really lies.
But what happens if you use social media like we do within your jobs? I mean, we're always checking it throughout our shifts and things like that.
I make the differentiation is easy for me. This is work and that's not.
Yeah, but you're using it as part of your work.
Mm.
Because we're posting to social media and things like that.
Dr. Anderson, what do you say?
Well, no, I would say it's still that intentional mindset. You know, we in counseling have something called mindfulness, that when we act fully and are fully engaged. So there's maybe a compartmentalization that takes place, that when I'm going to post on social media and I'm going to be engaged, if it is work-related, you may at the end of the day have to schedule in times of shutting down, disconnecting, even if it's just for an hour, creating that compartmentalization and practicing full, complete mindfulness in the moment. I do think that that can be the transition that makes this, you know, worthwhile.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, thank you. Nice talking with you again. It's David Henderson. He's a psychiatrist in Dallas with the Four Stones Group.